Tonight, we're going into Deuteronomy chapter 18. And as we move right along, I'm just glad to be able to introduce some people that have never gone through the book of Deuteronomy to some of the truths that are in this book. I find Deuteronomy is one of my favorite books. I don't know how many times Ann and I have listened to the book of Deuteronomy. We can go to bed at night and put the disc in and just let it play. And you'd be surprised how you can wake up in the middle of the night and not fully be awake and hear it. Or you can get up or you can come back to bed or you can walk in the room and it's at certain parts and just hearing it. Things that you've missed. But if you're going to allow God's word to saturate your mind and your soul, you have to take time with it. Other than that, you'll take time doing something else. Either a DJ on the radio, playing his songs, or talk radio, they'll feed your mind. And I'm not saying never listen to music or never listen to talk radio, but there should be some firm foundation in which I can't go a day without getting some of to feel good about myself. Some people, that's TV. Some people, it's basketball. Some, it's the gym. But mine is the Word of God. I don't even know the last time that I've gone a day without the Word of God. It bothers me if I don't read and I could have listened to it. Something about having my eyes to interact with the Word of God. Countless hours I spend listening to things that feed my mind so that I can be who I want to be, that I can determine who I want to be as opposed to just letting it happen. But this chapter is going to show us the purpose of the priest of God. It's an amazing role. So let's give this the title for tonight: Understanding the Role and Who Are the Priest of God. If we were to delve deep into that word, the priest of God, and we were to take it to where the Bible talks in the New Testament under Peter, all of us are supposed to be a priesthood or royal priesthood. But that did not just jump onto the scene with Peter. Israel was supposed to be a priesthood. Israel was supposed to be a holy nation. But they didn't trust God like they should have. And they bowed down during the time with the golden calf. And the only one that came to Moses' side were the Levites. And the Levites got the priesthood. Yet, within the midst of that, all of the firstborn were still God's. So as you read through the book of Exodus, you will see that if you had a son, your first son belonged to God. If you wanted to keep your son, you had to redeem him with a half shekel of silver. Silver is the metal that is used to represent blood throughout what we call the Old Testament. So now we are dealing with them after they have gone through 40 years in the wilderness. And as I've said before, Daniel, you weren't here. The book of Deuteronomy has a twin in the New Testament, which is 2 Timothy. And you could also say 2 Peter. Deuteronomy is written by Moses at the time when he knows he's about to die. Deuteronomy is when Moses is dealing with a group of what we would call children under him because their parents are dead. Their parents defied God. They thought they were just defying Moses. Moses sent them up in Numbers 12 and 13, told them that they were supposed to go into the land. They wouldn't go into the, they went in and spied. They wanted to spy. They went in and spied and they said, "These people too big. We can't do it." Yet you've just got through defeating by God the baddest nation that's on the planet right now, at least in your region, Pharaoh. And you went across the sea. And you're afraid because you're looking at what you're going to do in your power. You have forgotten what God has done in his magnificent, awesome power already. And so God gave Moses the wherewithal to let them know, because you didn't do this, you're going to stay here 40 years. It was 40 days. It's a year for every day. And you know those men, they defied Moses again and tried to go back up into the land and end up getting smitten? Well, here are their children. Everybody from 20 years old and upward, they lived. The other people, they died. It was over a 38-39 year period. God killed them off little by little. Could you imagine if it had been you and me and we had been there when it happened, and that's the 39th year, and all of our friends and the other people are dead, and only people left are Stanley and Tim? And we're like, Stanley, you know this is the year we're going to die this year. There's no doubt about it. Everybody else is gone. He's talking to the children. And now he's giving them information how you're to live. That's what Deuteronomy is about. How you're to live, what you're to do, what to expect when you get to the land of promise. You see, I'm already right at 120 years old and my eyesight hasn't gotten dim. I still have my physical force, but I got to die because God said so. So in chapter 18, he's giving them still a part of the reiteration of what God has done, what God expects, how you're to live in the land where you're going. Here he's dealing with how to treat the priest. Deuteronomy 18:1 says, the priest, the Levite, and all the tribe of Levi, some people pronounce it Levi, okay, shall have no part, no inheritance in Israel. They shall eat the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Now, in my translation, it just says the Lord made by fire. This is the offerings made by fire. Therefore, they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he had said unto them. God did not give them, and God was not going to give them, whole bodies of land like when they come into the land of Canaan. You will read about that in the book of Joshua. They didn't get inheritance. Some Dan got part of his on the other side. Half of the tribe of Manasseh decided, we want to stay over here. It's a good place for sheep and cattle. And so the Levites didn't get an inheritance. God was their inheritance. Why is that? Because they were priests unto the Lord. If you start reading between Exodus 28 and round through about the 32nd chapter, you will find that the priests are not the priests of men. They are priests unto God, and they serve God. And in serving God, he instructs them to make intercession for the people, to make offerings for the people. But they are not obligated to the people. They are obligated to God. And when a priest will feel like he's obligated to a man, he'll do wickedly. In the book of Judges, there's one named Micah. Wasn't it Micah the one that was the Levite? Or was Micah the one that hired the Levite? I think Micah hired the Levite because we don't know the Levite's name. He hired a Levite, and this man had idol gods and all of this, and he had stolen his money from his mother to buy it and have it done. And then the tribe of Dan came in, and they took him. And the wickedness that persisted because this man, instead of being a priest of God, he became a priest to the man, was totally against what God had wanted. So the priests were to get their food, their inheritance from the offerings, especially the burnt offering. They were to get offerings from the first fruits offering. So they had food that they would get. They had to be taken care of. Some of the tithes would be there. They would get some of the jowls. They would get some of the bull, sheep. And this was there that they were to have to eat. And so he's saying and letting them know what it's supposed to be. The priests don't come up with something new. Moses has instructed us all. Verse number 3 says, and this shall be the priest's due from the people from whom them, from them that they offer sacrifice, whether if it be to the ox or the sheep, and they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw. We don't talk about the maw that much, but this is the belly, the stomach, etc. They get all of that. Of the first fruit of the corn, of your wine, of your oil, and of the fleece, that's the part that come off the sheep, of thy sheep shall thou give him. For the Lord thy God has chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand and minister in the name of the Lord. Him and his sons forever. The job of the priest was to be dedicated to God. The job of the people were to support the priest. The priest were the ones to give you the information. They were the ones that performed the sacrifices. They knew the system. They knew the order. They knew how things were supposed to be done. And they had one that was chief over them called the high priest. The Levites had jobs to do. They would roll up the tent of meeting. They would carry the Ark of the Covenant. They would carry the labor. They would do all of those things. And they would put it up together. And it would be separated by different parts of the tribes of the tribe of Levi. That's why you'll see when you read number 16, Moses goes off on Korah, Dathan, and Abiram because they were Levites too. But he said, but he gave you a job. And you won't take over the priesthood too? And if you read that, you'll see God in his awesome power show that I'm not the one to play with. If I designate somebody to do my will, when you go against them and you violate them, you have violated me. Because they're serving me. You think that they're serving you. Would to God we as parents would understand that we are in the role of serving God for our children. Would to God that we would understand that if we walked and carried ourselves the way that God wants us to, when the children violated us, they violated God. Therefore, when you teach the children and you teach them the awesome fear of God, the respect, the honor, and the majesty that's due his name, and then you also teach them the fear and the dread of violating God's boundaries, when the child see that you are doing like God say, then that transference is there. But other than that, where did you get your marching orders of how to train your children? TV? Culture? Culture changes. It's a different culture now than it was in America when I was born. TV shows things, talk about things I never heard of. Music says things that my ears did not get to hear for a long time. I can remember asking my uncle what one of the words were that I hear. You turn on music on a daily basis. I was a big boy. Never heard that word before. Didn't know what it meant. But you know, you'll find people willing to teach you wickedness. It doesn't, I mean, they're just willing to teach. But to teach you God's word, no. Let's move to 5. For the Lord that God has chosen him out of all of the tribes to stand and minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons. And if the Levite come from the gates out of all of Israel, where he has sojourned and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord. Then he shall minister, he shall serve. That word minister don't mean you're standing up and preaching. It can be a part of it. But his job is to serve. When a person is seriously doing God's will, when they're teaching, it's not about the show. It's not about me being on a billboard. It's about disseminating God's word and let his word be out there so people can take it and take the milk of the word and grow thereby so that they can begin to eat the bread of the word, so that they can begin to eat the meat of the word, so they can be washed with the water of the word, so that they can be sanctified through the truth, so they can be made free by the truth, so that they can live eternally because the individual that has Jesus' word in him, he's got something in him that will not pass away. What do you mean, Tim? Glad you asked, Daniel. Scriptures say heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We want that eternal word in us and to give that eternal word so that people can be benefited and grow. And it says, 7, he shall minister in the name of the Lord. That's his authority as God. And as all his brethren, the Levites do, which stand there before the Lord. They shall have light portions to eat besides that which cometh of the sale of his patrimony. That's another word for fathers. This is the care that's going to be given to the Levites because they serve God. God takes care of them. God looks out for them. One of the things that you'll find out in the religious world is that people take what God has set up to care for those that's doing his will, and they find that's the way to come up. They find that's the way to benefit for themselves. And it's just not in Judaism, it's not just in Christianity. I find almost in every form of religion, whether it's Islam, whether it's Christianity, Catholicism, whether it's New Age, whether it's like when Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh came over here, people can use religion to become wealthy. Even people that are atheists. The guy wrote a book, Christopher Hitchens wrote a book, made a lot of money. Richard Dawkins wrote a book, made a lot of money. And although many of the fallacies of logic are in those books, people want to be able to dismiss God off the scene. So you become religious in your irreligious attitude. Because people are faithful about not wanting to trust God. Verse number 9, listen to how God talks here. When thou art coming to the land, understand he's given you the role of the priest. He's identified who the priests are. The priests are the Levites. They are not the Judahites. They're not the Danites. They're not the Asherites. When I'm saying ites, I'm just saying Dan, Asher, Manasseh, Ephraim. That's not the priests. The priests are the Levites. Now, if you are a Danite and you're going to be a priest, you would have to be the firstborn and you weren't redeemed, okay? You'll see in the book of Ruth that there's a child that's given that's not redeemed. His name is Samuel. But here, we're looking and we're saying he's identified the priests, who they are, how they should be taken care of. But when you come into the land which the Lord your God giveth you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. When, not if. Can you imagine Moses standing there? When you all are coming to the land which the Lord God is going to give you, when you don't do the abominations of the people of the land. You don't mix. You don't mingle. You don't become pluralistic. The moment you become pluralistic, you are no longer holy. The word holy, kadesh, means to be separate. You are separated. You are other than. You are following me. You're not following the figment of somebody's imagination. And so he said, you shall not do after the abomination of those nations. When you talk about the word nation, you're talking about those ethnic groups. It's called in Hebrew the Goyim or the Goye, okay? We call them Gentiles in the New Testament. There shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of time, or an enchanter, or a witch. I need you to understand that most people don't believe that there is such a thing as witchcraft. I need you to understand that some people don't believe that there is such a thing as divination. I need you to understand that there are the people that don't think that there are people that can perform miracles. I need you to understand that the Bible is speaking explicitly way back here. This kind of thing was going on. Had the person read the book of Exodus, you would have already seen that. You would have seen even in Genesis when the sons of God got together with the daughters of men. And there were what they called gigantos, or giants in the land of the Nephilim, was in the land at that particular time. And if you look throughout the scripture from the time of that, you find that man had a proliferation of knowledge that increased. They got some kind of information, some kind of knowledge that was able to supersede what they already had before. Man has always wanted a knowledge that was outside of God, that was before he was supposed to have it. That's what happened with Eve. That's another subject. I'm going to stay right where I am. So let's go through.
What does it mean, his son or his daughter to pass through the fire?
They would offer their sons to fire. They would burn their sons and daughters. Just like God had an animal sacrifice of a whole burnt offering, they would offer their children as fire. The Molech, they were good to doing it to Molech. They would offer their children to the fire as a sacrifice. What's the difference when women today offer their children and kill them because they went out and had sex with somebody while they were married and didn't want their husband to know? Or they just don't want the child right now? Or what is it when a man get a woman pregnant and he's got a wife and says, well, you know, I got some money. Or a teenage boy get a girl pregnant, what you going to do? What you mean what you going to do? She know what that means. And so because we either have shame or we want to be able to have our money and do like we want to, or because, you know, you all right to lay up with, but you sure wasn't going to be the mother of my child, or you ain't going to be my wife, let's kill this baby. These people would offer their children to the fire to get whatever they wanted. They weren't just offering their children to the fire because we just hate kids. There's some benefit we want. We either want the crops to grow better. We either want something to happen. We feel a curse has been placed on us. We want something to happen. And we got to give the best thing we have, our child, to offer that. Well, sometimes when we do stuff like that, we offer our children. How many women leave their children at home and go out and do what they need to do, and the children are too little, and you hear about the houses burning up? The children got into something. How many men leave their children, don't take care of them, nowhere around to be seen, because I got something else I'm trying to accomplish, and you're in the way? Well, it says, there shall not be found one that maketh his son or daughter pass through the fire, one that uses divination. The word divination is talking about witchcraft. The word here is kesem, is of false prophets to get oracles, information that God did not give it. Divination. Joseph used that word one time whenever he sent the food back, and he sent that cup in there when he sent it back, supposedly sent it to his father, and he had them to stop them. And when they came back, they looked for Joseph's special cup, and they found it because, you know, they talking good stuff. And we don't have the stuff. Whoever it is, you basically take him and kill him or whatever. But they didn't realize that Joseph had his servants to put his cup in Benjamin's. So when he put the cup in, they got it out of Benjamin's. And Judah spoke up, and he was willing to die for his brother. But Joseph asked him, did you think I couldn't divine? Here's my cup. Joseph asked him, do you think I can't divine? You reading the book of Ezekiel, did you see that the people would divine with a liver? They use the, if you maybe haven't gotten that far, they were divine with a liver. There are different ways that people learn how to get in touch with the other world. I submit to you that in this world, Satan and his beings have the ability to communicate with us. They are allowed to do so. Then it says an observer of times. This is talking about an individual that's able to make an apparition. The word here is onan. This means to make, to appear, to produce like clouds. Remember, there was Saul went to the witch of Endor, and an apparition came up, and she was scared as if, this time, this is not what I'm used to doing. And she was scared. Saul and his ungodliness, what you see? And then he found out, you're going to die. You and your son are going to die. And they call that the Witch of Endor. You ever watch a picture on TV called Bewitched years ago? On Nickelodeon? You ever watched it? Bewitched, Samantha, Darren, etc. What was Samantha's mother's name? Wasn't it Endor? It was. You'd be surprised how many television shows people know stuff that's in the scripture. Yeah, many times people don't know that read the scripture. And then it says, divination, observer of time, an enchanter. An enchanter is one that observes signs and omens. This is going to happen because this does this, or the cat did this, or that window, that mirror broke, or the cat's in the cradle in the silver spoon, and the little boy blew in the man in the moon. They're observing signs and omens. No doubt in some of your countries you've seen people. There's something happening. They get all observing signs and omens. The Bible said, when you get there, when you get to this place, you shall not learn. Look at it, verse 9. We got to keep it in context. When you get there, you shall not learn this. You shall not become skillful in it. You shall not become an instructor in it. You shall not become accustomed to it. You shall not get there because you're going to see people that can do things and cause things to happen. Don't you get involved in it. It's going to be tempting. It's going to be like, wow. But Deuteronomy 13 that we've covered already, God is doing this to test you. I don't have to let Satan do anything. It's my world. Well, go to 10. We read 10 and it says, or a witch. When it talks about a witch, we're talking about sorcery. One that practices sorcery is called witchcraft. One is able to try to get in touch with the future. But then he comes down again, and now he says, or a charmer. one that's a magician, one that has the ability to cast some kind of spell upon somebody. Remember, I don't know if you remember, in Numbers 24, maybe 20 through 24, there was a man named Balaam that was hired to cast a spell on the children of Israel. Do you think that they just realized or learned about casting spells and having charm when Israel came, or had the practice already been in effect? Practice had already been in effect. Notice, the children of Israel was coming out of Egypt where people worshiped the dog head on a man's body. They were worshiping the cow. They were worshiping the frog. They were making buildings that go up to the sky so that the light could come through and that they could go to the eternal portals. Information on the other side had already been given. It had already been given. So now we're talking about a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits. Many times when we talk about a consulter with familiar spirits, we're talking about just like some of our ancestors. When I say our ancestors, if we go back to Africa, some of our ancestors, they go with familiar spirits. You ever heard of the Yoruba priestess, or the people that follow that religion? You ever heard of Iyanza Van Zandt? Well, forget it. Anyway, those people, they like to talk to the ancestors. Let's go biblical. If you remember the life of Jacob, Jacob goes in and he gets to Laban, and on his way back, after he's been mistreated about 14 years, in the 20th year, he's gotten sheep, he's gotten cattle and all of this, and when he leaves, his wife Rachel take the teraphim, the gods. Those are the ancestral gods. They take the gods, and now he's looking for them, Laban is, and Jacob, I don't have, check us all out, but Rachel got them. Rachel has those gods. But what does Rachel do?
I'm after the men of women. I can't do anything. I can't move.
And they don't check her stuff. But somewhere along the line, Jacob finds out that she had those gods, because when he gets ready to come through and do what God has him to do, he buries the gods. No ancestral worship. And so those with familiar spirit, familiar is like, almost like how Spanish people say family. How do you say it?
Familia.
Yep, see? Familia, say it again.
Familia.
And that's no familiar, no family spirits. Talking or trying to get information from the dead. And a familiar spirit, that spirit is familiar with the one that's in your family, and you would easily think that you're talking to your dad, your mom, or your cousin. They do that on TV now. They have different people that do that on TV. Montel have a woman on TV doing it. Another guy does it. I think John Young did it. And yeah, about two or three that little weird man. Huh? The familiar spirit. Let me see. I think the medium come after that. Medium would be similar, the same thing, talking to the dead, getting information on the other side. The wizard, he has a familiar spirit, or a necromancer, or a knower, one that knows something. And then it says a necromancer. We've covered a necromancer. All of these things that we see that are popular, like, you want information, call me now. Remember Miss Cleo? Call me now. Psychic Friends Network. Some people deal with people like things that are taught by Anton LaVey and Aleister Crowley. Look at the Beatles album Sgt. Pepper Lonely Heart Club Band. You'll see a lot of the things with Satanism in there. I have stuff where people talk about their Satanism and put it in their music and people sing it. They have symbols that they use. Symbols that have gone throughout history. The same symbol is that they're getting it from the same source. And he says in verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. All people that do these things are an abomination to God. God is very teed off with these people. These people are detestable to God. God is, these people are people that God has made, that God has created, and I detest these people. They are other than me. I detest them. And it says, when it says an abominable, this is a disgusting, it's a, in a ritual sense, totally unethical, and it's wicked. And I have nothing to do with it, and you better not have anything to do to it. And it says, the abomination unto the Lord, because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. The imperative that they should have understood, the imperative that should have come through to these people is this. And if God drives them out of the land with you, you're not all of that. Moses has told them before we get to chapter 18, you're the least. You're not big. You're not bad. The only reason I got you is because I love the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if I will drive them out of the land with little old you, if I'll get rid of them and kick them out with little old you, don't you know that I'll do the same thing to you? It reminds me of something that Paul teaches the people. You're going to tell somebody not to commit adultery. You're going to teach not to commit adultery and you do it yourself. You're going to teach people not to worship idol and you commit sacrilege. You blaspheme God. God uses you for judgment. God uses you for instruction according to Deuteronomy 4 so that the nations would know what God does. And then you're going to turn out and do the same thing and be sucked in? Those of you all that have been and seen a lot of things and wickedness and ungodliness, you may not be able to stop it, but you surely can keep yourself from doing it. You may not be able to push it out of the land, but you might be able to, somebody that listen to you, turn them away from it. But to get sucked in, I just need my child to get well. I'm just gonna get this one person. I know he not right, but he has, people do get healed when they go see him. Mm-hmm. There's that thing that ARE that they would do. I forgot. It may come back to me in a little while. The guy that started that. What was his name? He could diagnose people's sicknesses and things like that. It's not Elmer. Thank you, Precious. I could not get Edgar Casey's name that saved my life. People would go to him anyway. It didn't matter what God said. My child is sick. I'm sick. And so what ends up happening is you might get well for that, but you still got to meet God in the judgment that the Bible talks about explicitly. Verse 13 says, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. It's imperative that an individual know that perfect means you will be complete, you will be whole, you will be sound, you will have integrity and in one accord with the Lord your God. Some people take perfection and use an English word, perfect, that there's nothing, no flaw, no blemish. What we're talking about being perfect with the Lord your God, you're on one accord with him. And you can't be on one accord with him violating the first commandment. You will not have another God. You will not have a graven image. You will not take his name in vain. And you will honor his Sabbath. And this is what the job for them to do. For those of us who are here today, we're supposed to enter into his Sabbath rest. So there's a rest for the people of God according to the end of Hebrews 3 and chapter 4. But verse 14 says, these nations which thou possess, hearkened, listen. They hearkened. They listened to the observers of time and unto the diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God has not suffered thee to do so. He has not gave you permission to do that. He has not given you the occasion to do that. He has not appointed you to do that. So when he says in this chapter, identify those that are the Levites. These are the ones that God chose. They have my instructions. You support them. When you go to the place where the individuals are to do this, you don't support them. You don't hook up with them because they're going to many times be able to perform miracles and things that the Levites aren't able to do. But the Levites have my word. They have my word. You are going to have death when you get over there. You're going to miss somebody in your family. You're going to want to talk to them. Yes, you are. You're going to have times that maybe your crop don't grow because you're disobedient, and I'm going to stop the rain. Tim, where do you get that from? I read the book. in the book. They're not supposed to have dry season. They're not supposed to have famine. They're not supposed to have sickness. They're not supposed to have any of that, but they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Now Moses has moved to chapter 18. So when you get there and all of this stuff happens, you're going to want to have rain anyway. You're going to want to cover all your bases. Don't do it. Don't recognize these as people of God. And you know what's amazing? You ever see the word Baal? Sometimes we call it Baal in the scripture. Do you know what the name Baal meant? The Lord. The Lord. And the children of Israel would often, what is syncretized mean, they would bring the two religions together and say they're one. That's why when you hear people talk about Jezebel, how many of you heard that Jezebel was a whore? You ever heard that Jezebel was a whore? Believe me, nobody was paying Jezebel to lay up with her. Believe there's nobody that you can find. You don't find anywhere in the scripture. Nobody, no one was laying up with Jezebel. You don't find it. Jezebel brought the worship of Baal there. That's why when they were on the Mount Moriah with Elijah, there were 400 priests. Well, there were 400 prophets and then 450 priests that were killed because they brought that syncretistic religion in there. That's why when you read in the book of the Revelation about Jezebel and whoredom, it's not talking about laying up. It's talking about that you have been moved away from your steadfastness of being one with God. When God married you back in Exodus, you went and got you another husband. When you hear people telling somebody you being a Jezebel, most of them don't know what they're talking about. Unless it's a woman usurping authority over her hand, over her husband, behind his back. Or some woman bringing a different religion. Most of the time they don't know what they're talking about. Just because they didn't read the passage. You don't read the passage to find somebody laying up with Jezebel. You find Jezebel getting folk killed. Jezebel tell Elijah, God, do so to me and more if you're not dead by tomorrow. And Elijah gone, running. In the back of his mind, he might have heard a little girl say, "Run, Elijah, run, run, Forrest." Elijah was getting up and getting out of there. But when God talked to Elijah again, he wasn't scared. He went and got him a man named Jehu. Oh, I wish I could tell you about Jehu. Jehu was so tough. If they could tell how he was by the way he drove an animal. He drive like Jehu. Jehu had him to throw Jezebel out the window and the dogs ate Jezebel. God had told him not to mix. Do we mix? Do we mix? How many things do we mix and call it Christianity? Mix a little Mormonism. Sometimes I've heard people say, I'm going to have a planet when I die. A little Mormonism. We'll miss a little Allah in there. Well, you know, say, Allah just means God. No, it didn't. It was the moon god. Absolutely, unequivocally it was. Well, let's say he had the seal of the prophet. Do you know what the seal of the prophet was? Because now you got people that mix and say that when Jesus said the comforter would come and the woman going to come like me, they'll say, if that was Allah, no, it wasn't the seal of the prophet. He had was a mole on his back. I got the books up there that the hadith would tell me that. Do we mix a little new age? Do we mix a little mysticism in there? Do we mix some new age in there? What do we mix with what God said? And he wanted to keep his stuff pure. And so we find some esoteric. We find something that we like. Especially humanism. Humanism. Naturalism, scientism, and I don't want to go into all of them because it'll get me away from the point, but I will try to be really quick on this. Scientism is when science says something that is not true and they have not proved it, but people are going to believe it anyway because it's socially and politically correct. Humanism is that man is the measure of all things. Naturalism is that nothing outside of what happened naturally is going to happen. And people believe that and they mix it in with the Bible and say that God can't act and interdict in his own world. And we mix all that stuff. So by the time when we talk about God, we have no clue what the scripture says. And God said in verse 14, the nation which thou shalt possess, hearken unto the observers of time and to the diviners, but as to thee the Lord has not suffered you to do so. But verse 15 says, the Lord, thy God. If you read it in Hebrew, it says Yahweh, it would say Yahweh Yah Elohim. It says, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren. Notice where he's coming from. Of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hearken. That's why when Jesus asked the disciples, whom do men say that I am? Some say Elijah, some say this, some say that prophet. He's talking about this prophet. That prophet that Moses is talking about here is a foretaste of the Messiah Jesus. The Lord, because what do you mean by that? You read the book of Hebrews, you'll see Moses was over his house, but the Lord as the ruler of the house. Moses was just a servant in the house. You'll find that Moses is going to institute a covenant, and you're going to find Jesus institutes a covenant. Moses delivers the people, Jesus delivers the people. Moses delivers the people from the bondage and the oppressor of an evil king, and Jesus. Now understand, when I say Moses does something, it's not Moses by himself. He's the vessel that's being used. But when I talk about Jesus, he is the one. He is the one that does it. Him with the finger of God. Him, the demons tremble when they see him. They don't tremble when they see Moses. Bless the Lord's everlasting name forever. Verse 16 says to all, well, notice it says, to him shall you hearken. That word hearken does not just mean to listen. That means to obey and do what you're told. That's why it's so implicit for an individual to understand that no matter what you read in the scripture in the New Testament, you will obey Jesus the Christ. Moses said to him, will you hearken? There's no way around it. He is going to come as prophet, but he'll also be as the priest. Now, Moses was a priest, and he will also be as king. Moses was not the king. Moses had a king for them, and God was their king. You'll see that in 1 Samuel. You'll also see it in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. Verse 16 says, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord thy God, neither let me see his great fire anymore, that I die not. Do you notice in this that the voice, God's voice, was really loud? The people didn't want to hear it. They saw the fire. Think about the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and the sound of the rushing mighty wind filled the place, and they saw cloven tongues of fire. God was instituting and inaugurating what he was doing in Horeb. You all act like you don't understand who Moses is. You don't act like you understand what I'm doing. You don't act like you understand that Moses is only doing what I'm telling him to do. I've authenticated, validated Moses before you. It's not just Moses. And that's why you can find Moses. You don't have to curse people like these preachers do now. Don't touch the Lord and honey. They can't say something about that. First of all, when you read David talking about touch not the Lord's anointed, you're going to find that it was all of Israel. It wasn't the prophets. It says, touch not the Lord's anointed, or touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And is a conjunction. The anointed with people. Yes, it was. And so Moses would just fall on his face, and God would take care of the rest. Didn't matter if it was Aaron. Didn't matter if it was Miriam. Didn't matter. Didn't matter if it was his cousins. It didn't matter. When Moses fell on his face, that's a scary thing. You know what that shows me? By Moses having been in the presence of God, he saw the danger of running your mouth. He saw the danger of violating what God wants to accomplish. He saw the value of bringing in other religion, and he would fall on his face and say, Lord, I don't know exactly all the things. We get excerpts. You do realize when we read the Bible, it doesn't give you everything that Moses said to God. But when Moses fell on his face, God asked. And so the people didn't want to hear God's voice. It scared them. They didn't want to see the fire. But verse 17, it says, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up. Notice God said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. From among their brethren, not an angel. It doesn't matter what the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society out of Brooklyn, New York says. It doesn't matter what the Mormon says. It doesn't matter what the Seventh-day Adventist says. This is Michael Arcangelo said when they said about Jesus. It says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. Hebrews chapter 2 said that Jesus did not take on him the nature of angels. He became him to be made like unto his brethren. And he said, I will put my words in his mouth. And what did Jesus say? The words that I speak, they're not mine, but the Father that gave me. Do you all see how the Bible ties together? How are you just going to take one scripture and say, this is what the Bible teaches? It's a tapestry. It's a tapestry that's woven together seemingly with one string. And if you pull on one, you should be able to understand that it affects the others. Yes, it does. And so it says, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them. This is in the future. That's why he's using them. All that I shall command him. The prophet that will be raised up, the prophet that will come from the brethren, he's going to speak what I command him. He's going to be commanded. The one that's talking now is letting you know that somebody's going to come that's going to speak what he's commanded. He's under somebody, but you're going to be under him. Verse number 19 says, and it shall come to pass. Listen to this now. This is so beautiful. That whosoever will not hearken, listen to, obey, make himself subject to the words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Notice, when he says, I will require it of him, that means I'm going to not only seek of it, that means I'm going to demand it of him, I'm going to investigate it, I'm going to see what's going on with him. I'm going to take care of whatever it is with the situation, the prophet, the person that will not hear what he has to say. God said he's going to record it. God's going to deal with it himself. But many people think that what Jesus says is optional. And they feel like it doesn't matter. That's what most people teach. It doesn't matter that much. God loves you. You don't have to do nothing. Come as you are. That's a lie. How you get that come as you are from? That's nowhere. Listen, if we understand words don't mean anything of themselves. It's the meaning that's behind the word. Because I can say a whole lot of words and they mean nothing. Like people that read and don't read well. I can read stuff in some languages and don't know what I'm reading. But that's what I told you the first day I met you. I can read some stuff in Spanish. I don't know what I'm reading. Make out some, and the other ones I don't make out. Words have meaning behind the words. When you see what the meaning behind the words are, when it's put syntactically together in a sentence, it gives you a meaning. It gives you a complete thought. And when you're looking for a complete thought of that which is going on, then you can understand what's being said. So when he says, I'm going to require it of him, that individual needs to listen to what is being told and see what's going on with what's being told and be obedient to it. Don't just fix it. Well, I think it means. Find out what the terms are that's being used. But he said that prophet, listen to this, this is so beautiful. But we got a contrast here. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name. The world is full of it right now. Do you believe that there are false prophets in Jesus' name right now? Do you believe there are false prophets in Jesus' name right now? How would you identify them? How would you identify a false prophet in Jesus' name unless you don't believe the scripture? If you believe that this is close to the last time, Jesus said, many will come in my name saying that I am Christ. It said it. Many will come in my name saying that I am Yeshua HaMashiach or that I am the anointed. Christ means the anointed. Many will come in my name. Many will come in my name saying that I am Christ. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that there's somebody can come and preach you another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. And we the so-called people that say we love God in the dark like la 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 la. Like the bad Sesame Street song. What's going on here? The prophet that will presume to speak a word in my name. People speak in his name all the time. Jesus told me. God told me. And you have contradictory statements. Peter said in his second epistle, second chapter, first verse, that there were also false prophets among the people, even as there shall also be false prophets among you who shall probably bring in damnable heresies, denying the Lord God. And people say, well, I ain't supposed to judge. You just sit there looking stupid then. Just disobey Jesus. He's already told you whatever he says, you should hearken to it, right? Didn't he say, the prophet that I raise up, you should hearken to what I command him and what he shall say? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep clothes. He didn't say in lion's clothes. He didn't say in bear clothes. You're not going to recognize them all the time. But inwardly, they're ravening wolves. They want to take you away from the faith and get you into what they're into and what they believe. They will take you and draw you away from the faith and the simplicity of the gospel because they have a knowledge or insight or a miracle that you're not used to. And he says, verse 20, but that prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if you shall say, and if you shall say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? Wow. Because anybody can come up and say God told you anything. Anybody can say they got a revelation. Anybody can say they got a revelation knowledge. Anybody can say that I dreamed a dream. It could be an incredible dream. It could be rooted in the American dream. It could be rooted in Peter Pan. People go for it. One lady said she saw Jesus in a piece of bread. And people paid her for it. One lady right down here in Conyers, and it wasn't even Jesus, said she saw Mary. And Mary was giving, I guess after she made enough money, Mary quit talking. It would block traffic going to Conyers. Yes, it would. But he said, when that individual speak a word that I have not told him, he should die. And you want to know how we're going to know what the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, when he speaks in the name of Yahweh, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. God is saying, my word is so sure. If he's speaking, my word is going to happen. You don't have to worry about it. All you got to do is put it in, let's don't say the bank, put it in gold bullion. Used to be a time to put it in the bank meant something, didn't it? Put it in gold bullion. Do you understand how many people that you have heard prophesy? I can go on this computer right here, go to YouTube, pull up the name of some of the most prominent ministers that are supposed to be, and they call themselves men of God, and they say, oops, I missed it. You are a lie. That's what is. That's what a damned lie is, okay? A damned lie is a lie that is condemned. Most people, when they use the word damned lie, they're using it as an expletive. I'm telling you that when a person does not believe what the Lord said, that's the person that Mark said would be damned. And I'm using the scripture that I don't even like to use. Oh, there you go. That's in the 9th through the 20th verse. I don't like to base no doctrine on anything that I find out was not in the earlier manuscripts, but it's a damnable lie. Why is that? Because you are following somebody that was speaking, presuming the name of the Lord, because you didn't strike him dead. You should be striking him dead in your life as a person that when you will listen to and follow. You should death and separation. Separate yourself from that. Because anybody that will teach and prophesy and tell people stuff that God did not say that's outside of God's word, they will offend the little ones. And Jesus said it is better for that individual to have a millstone. We're talking about the big one. Tied about his neck and he drowned in the sea. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means, Brother Stanley, drowned in the sea? If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it is dishonorable for a man not to have a burial. If you drown in the sea, it's better for you to even be off the face of what we call the earth. Now, we know that the water is part of the earth. That's not considered. We're talking Jewishly, to be part of the earth. And many of the Jews were scared of water. And Job talked about the place of the departed soul being under the waters. It would be better for you to be off the earth. It would be better for you being fish dung, animal in the ocean dung, than for you to offend a little one, one that's trying to learn my word. And yet, the so-called church is replete. Sow a seed. Seed faith offering. Speak it. Make it happen. You can call things that be not as though they are with your power, making no differentiation between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever. Oh, and it says that to the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You know what presumptuously mean? The word is zodon. Zodon, and it's spelled Zadek, well, I'm not going to spell it that way. Z-A-W-D-O-N-E, Zadon. That means presumptuously, pride, out of arrogance, insolence. What that means is, if I just claim it, Stanley, if I just claim tomorrow, by my powers, I'm not going to have to work anymore, but on Monday I'm working. I've lied. But we forgive that stuff and say it's okay. It's bad enough to misunderstand the scripture because of something in the translation, because you got an English word here and it's a Greek word or it's a Hebrew word and you didn't know. That's understandable. But to say, God told me, and it doesn't happen. Have you ever seen it before? Have you ever seen somebody prophesy something and it didn't come to pass? Have you ever seen somebody prophesy the world was going to end in 2000 and it didn't? Y2K and it didn't? Would you still follow that person? If so, then you're not even doing what he told them back then. You can't argue many times with a person say God told them something unless you know it's contradicting God. But he said, just watch them. Just watch them. Just watch. Look and see what happens. Sometimes I write it down. See, I used to be, when I was younger, when I was outside of the will of God, and I wanted to come back, but it was nobody that was living the Christian life that I knew. I didn't say nobody living. Somebody take what I said and then they construe it. I just knew the people that were saying they were living it, they weren't. Because I knew better. Things that happened to me and I was angry with God. I didn't realize it. All I know is that it's just like, I'm tired of church folk. I'm tired of the game. I'm tired of them saying one thing, doing another. I'm tired of them trying to beat me out of my money. I'm tired of watching this man, this Mary do this. I'm tired of watching them do this, that, and the other. I don't want nothing to do and begging for money. There's $1,000. God told me that 10 people going to get $10,000. I got tired of that. But I would go and I would watch Christian church. I would go watch the show. And I would see people prophesy. And I would see stuff didn't happen. I would watch the people that flocked to it and give them money. Usually it was people that were biblically illiterate. Usually it was people that wanted something for nothing. Usually it was people that wanted to get rich. It was usually greedy people. Or it was people that wanted powers. I submit to you, if I just wanted powers, I wouldn't be serving God. I would be in New Age so fast, I would get paid like a guru just like that. But what would it cost me? I already know what they teach. Those of you that have been in countries where you see stuff, it wouldn't take you much to be a part of that, but it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your soul. Again, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, I'm calling out the name because they say they're God's prophet. and they had said the world was going to end in 1914, 1925, 1941, and 1975. If they say that's a lie, I got their old books to prove it right there. It's written in their books. I bought them off eBay. I knew what to look for, and I waited till I could find it. And then you got the Seventh-day Adventist. William Miller said the world was going to end in 1943 in October, then in 1944, and it didn't happen. Now, I can't indict everybody in there and say they still believe that now, but they still consider that woman, Ellen White, to be a great prophet. As many things that she has taught that was wrong. So what do we do today? We say, well, this is the man of God. You can't speak against the man of God. But then God's word is silenced because we won't make judgments. God's word is silenced because we don't want to make the truth. Because we need a crowd. I don't need a crowd. If none of you all come back today and nobody do a website, go on the web or the podcast again, I'm going to stick with the word of God. I got to. I have nothing else. I have books that will show me different worldviews and systems. When you want to look at a world view, you want to look at what does it say is the origin of the world? What does it say the meaning of the world is? Where does it say the morality comes from? And what does it say the final destiny is? Once you deal with those four issues there and compare any system to what the Word of God puts up, I think that you'll begin to understand you have something that many people, if it were portrayed the way it is in the Scripture, they'd want. They'd want. But when we have Steph, and what could they want? Again, to recap, God showed them through Moses how to look at the prophet and how to look out for the prophet and take care of it. This is not somebody coming laying their hand on you like we have today. They had prophets going on in the Old Testament that God would speak to. They didn't have the printed word like we do. It had to be disseminated. They had to get it from Moses. They had to start writing down the things that they had. They had the Levites to teach them. Then they would have to look out for the Levites, and God said to them, He's going to send somebody else. So what you do, you look at who is, and He said, when you go there, you look at who's not. Don't look at what they're doing and thinking that that's me. It's not me. It's not me. It's not equal to me. It doesn't surpass me, but it's going to be tempting. Tell me wickedness is not tempting. Anybody here don't think wickedness is tempting? I'll tell you what, let somebody spit on your face, and I can guarantee you wickedness will let you know, I can stop that. I can make myself feel better about it. And I hadn't told anybody what to think that what you would do, but there are some things that we could come up with that would make ourselves feel better. Always a job for the children of God to stay with God's word. And once you see what's out there, you stay away from it, then look for the one that God sends, like Moses, with God's word in him. Follow him. All we have to do is look back and see what the Lord Jesus has done and follow him. Be loyal to him, not personalities, not miracles. That's chapter 18. I love chapter 18. Was there anything in this chapter right here that we just covered that you had looked at before that you decided, okay, this chapter does not go the way Tim said it did? Was it good to go through it? Imagine what it felt like to me growing up, going to church and sitting there for an hour, hour and a half, and we talk about two scriptures. It should be a learning process. We should be ever learning and able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we should be. Well, I'm going to close this one down, and we'll do chapter 19 and call it a night. Unless somebody else has something to say. Anybody else out back there have anything to say on chapter 18? Father, thank you for letting us go through this chapter. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your power, and your glory. I thank you so much that you've warned us and you've told us in your word that you deal with people to help other people. But the people that are to help us should be dedicated to you, not building up a name for themselves. But you've also shown us that it is the right thing for us to do to watch people and see if they're who they say that they are, that they're representing you. Give us the mind to use discernment and be wise. Keep us from things that would make us think that it's right when it's not. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus. Amen.